culture were sent off to the world court. Their plans for global domination were preemptively cut short. Their weapons of mass destruction were inspected and destroyed. Battleships dismantled, never again to be deployed.
This is the Quality News Network. In Mumbai, India, more than 140 rail passengers were killed and more than 400 injured today in what authorities say was a well-coordinated terrorist attack. 7 to 8 bombs exploded during a 10-minute time span during the evening rush hour commute. Officials suspect an Indian Muslim who has links to Al-Qaeda masterminded the attack. In Washington, the Pentagon now says all detainees in U.S. custody are subject to the Geneva Convention protections for prisoners of war. Earlier, the Bush administration had said the detainees were not prisoners of war. The Supreme Court recently ruled that the military tribunals created by the Bush administration do not follow international law. Also in Washington, the Bush administration is asking Congress to pass legislation to approve the military commissions that the Supreme Court deemed illegal. A Pentagon official testified today in front of a Senate committee, saying that approving the commissions would help move the trials forward. In Baghdad today, 16 people were killed in 2 suicide bombings near the heavily fortified Green Zone. A total of 50 people were killed today in various attacks. In North Korea, an official has reportedly agreed to return to 6-party talks over disarmament, but that's only if the U.S. drops any financial sanctions against the country. Meanwhile, a U.S. official traveled to China, while North Korea reportedly sent a delegation to Beijing. In Washington today, President Bush credited his tax cuts for a forecasted drop in the federal deficit. The new White House figures show that it's expected to be $296 billion rather than the $423 billion predicted earlier. On Capitol Hill, the House passed a measure that would ban the use of credit cards and online money transfers for online gambling. Each year, online gambling brings in an estimated $12 billion. In Colorado today, the Democrat-controlled House and Senate passed a measure that would deny state and federal aid to illegal immigrants 18 years and older. The bill applies to services including health care and unemployment insurance. In Washington today, the federal government announced more than $5 billion in grants for post-Katrina housing. $4 billion in grants will go toward helping Louisiana residents rebuild or sell their homes. The rest will assist residents in other Gulf Coast states. In Boston, 12 tons of concrete from the massive highway project known as the Big Dig fell onto a car late yesterday. The woman inside, a passenger, was crushed to death. You're listening to QNN.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to RightCarRightPrice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to RightCarRightPrice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
The National Academy of Sciences says global warming could harm California's wine industry. The data says that more hot days will cut the growing season for grapes. In Britain, 3 former bankers are scheduled to be extradited to the U.S. on Thursday to face charges related to the Enron scandal. The men are expected to pave the way for many more white-collar executives facing other charges. Delphi has posted an $828 million loss in the fourth quarter. The bankrupt auto parts maker partly blames high costs and falling production in North America. Google has announced plans to open an advertising facility in Michigan. The facility is expected to employ 1,000 workers within 5 years. Bill Gates says Microsoft's Windows Vista will probably be ready by January. The new operating system is still in its testing stage, where problems are still being uncovered and fixed. Nielsen Media Research will begin measuring how many people watch television commercials starting in the fall. The Wall Street Journal reports that it's the first time the company will provide ratings for television ads. The space shuttle astronauts may be turning to duct tape as a quick fix-it on their Discovery mission. NASA reports the tape was used to secure a backpack that's used by the astronauts during their spacewalks. Light sweet crude settled at $74.16 a barrel today. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 31 points at 11,135. NASDAQ up 12, S&P 500 up 5. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Well, we've made it to Tuesday, haven't we? One day at a time, sweet Jesus, one day at a time. And, you know, what is this Tuesday? This Tuesday is bombs going off in Mumbai and bombs going off in Baghdad and... Let's start with a funny. Let's start with a funny. Stand by. I had the fan going in here, and it sounded like I was doing radio in an airplane hangar. I apologize. A major research institution. And it was just announced. Have you read this? Have you seen this? You know, everything that goes around the internet, I get last. I think maybe I'm the next to last guy. I think maybe Senator Stevens gets stuff after I get it. But a major research institution has just announced the discovery of the heaviest element yet known to science. The new element has been named Bushcronium. Bushcronium, because you know I love science. Bushcronium has one neutron, 12 assistant neutrons, 75 deputy neutrons, and 224 assistant deputy neutrons, giving it an atomic mass of 311. These 311 particles are held together by forces called morons, which are surrounded by vast quantities of lepton-like particles called pions. The symbol for Bushcronium is W. Bushcronium's mass actually increases over time, since each reorganization causes more morons to become neutrons, forming isotopes. Well, you know, there's really no money in trying to be funny or creative or any. Everybody's doing it for free. This characteristic of moron promotion leads some scientists to believe that Bushcronium is formed whenever morons reach a certain quantity in concentration. This hypothetical quantity is referred to as critical morass. When catalyzed with money, Bushcronium activates Foxnusium, an element that radiates orders of magnitude more energy, albeit as incoherent noise, since it has half as many pions, but twice as many morons. Thanks. This came to me from Sharon. Thank you, Sharon. It's all entirely plausible to me. We wonder what dark matter is. Bush. Living dark matter. There's a couple of different places I want to go starting off this evening. But from the pointing out good things and good places to go, you know, I wanted to start with a little bit of humor because I've been reading these criticisms and everybody's an expertisms kind of things about progressive talk, or what we like to call conversation. And one of the things,
it's always negative. All I do is sit around hating Bush.
I'm not going to waste my time loving him. I mean, there's that weird little cancerous knot out there of people who voted for him and still think he's cool. It's more than enough to go around. So, sorry. But no, do you? I ran across this at BartCop in today's issue. Do you ever make? I try to make a point of going over to sfgate.com and reading Mark Morford whenever possible. But I've got this list, and I don't. The stuff I have. You know, I have to read the whole internets every day. But this is just great. This is beautiful writing. It is like, this is from this past Friday. It is like some sort of virus. It is like some sort of weird and painful rash on your face that makes you embarrassed to walk out the door, and so you sit there day after day waiting for it to go away, slathering on ointment and Bactine and scotch. And yet still it lingers. Some days the pain is so searing and hot you want to cut off your own head with a nail file. Other days it is numb and pain-free and seemingly okay to the point where you think it might finally be all gone, and you allow yourself a hint of a whisper of a positive feeling right up until you look in the mirror and scream. Mark Morford writes, George W. Bush is just like that. And there's so much truth in it. In radio, doing culture stuff means getting on the air and talking about what trimester Britney is in. I don't care. I don't care. And over at CNN today, you know, I check out their main headlines there on the main page from time to time. Bombay blew up today. And it's almost impossible to talk about it. What is there to be said? What can I say? What can you say about something that hellish? But Bombay blew up today. Let's take a look at the headlines available. Latest news. Doggies have their day at the ballpark. Thrill killer at 12, boy is now inmate for 26 years. Duct tape. Astronaut to NASA. Can't fix it. Duct it. Man jumps off bridge 200 times in 24 hours. From SportsIllustrated.com, Italian, I did insult Zizou before headbutt. Dan Rather has new job. And then, of course, my particular favorite out of this list, Mystery of Tom and Katie's Baby deepens. And, of course, in there also, teen gets 45 years for dismembering classmate. I guess this is the stuff we would be talking about if I did, you know, pop culture. But I don't have the stomach for it. I don't have the stomach for it. I just don't. And hence this paragraph from Mark Morford that just so perfectly achieves the tone of what we're of kind of where we are. George W. Bush is just like that. Everyone I know, he says, has had enough. Everyone I know is just about done. there is this threshold of happy, deadened disgust, this point where the body simply resigns itself to the pain, a point where the disease, the poison, has seeped so deeply into the bones that you just have to laugh and shrug it all off and go for a drink. Or 10. Talks about a conversation he had with a couple of Republicans in their 60s, and he says, Bush came up as a topic, as a cancer, as a fetid miasma in the air. But that kind of is where we are, isn't it? You know, I remarked last night on how difficult it is to even see his hateful mug on the television anymore. But where, you know, where Mark Morford says, well, you know, at some point you just you laugh it off and go and, you know, mainline a fifth of scotch. Some of us can, some of us can't. I feel like I can't get away from him. The screw-ups, the hateful misery, the damnation, the shame, just kind of crawls all over you, doesn't it? It does me. Because sooner or later, no matter what happy thing happens to you, no matter what goodness, no matter what blessing, sooner or later you come back around to the fact that your nation is under assault right now, and it's under assault by the Bush family. I ran across a quote in one of the emails I got today from that hateful old beast, Barbara Bush, where she said, and it was talking about Clinton, you know, a man forgets where he parked his car, a man forgets his keys, a man never forgets oral sex. Bill Clinton lied. You know, this is the same old beast that gave us, why should I waste my beautiful mind on who died and how many and where and watching the body bags come home. Why? And so, you know, deal with it. I mean, I guess the wing nuts are out there, you know, they just go through their days and it's happy, happy, dance, dance. But not us. Because we have a task in front of us. We have a task to prepare for. We have to be prepared, you and I, for what happens after November 2006, for what happens after the Republicans are thrown back into the minority in which they belong. We have sleeves to roll up. We've got to put the hip waders on, because we're going to be wading, you and I, into some real filth. Because it's ours to clean up. Because the people who sent your kids or your neighbor's kids off to war, but not their own, they're going to be more than happy. They're going to be more than happy to sit back and let you do the work. Because they made the mess in the first place when they voted for that jug-eared, pig-eyed little lout at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. So, yeah, go have it's the Friday. It's the Friday, July 7th column. I'm not going to sit here and read to you. You're liberal. You're progressive. You can read perfectly well. You know, at one point he does say, "We are currently stuck. We're swirling around the bottom of the drain, clinging onto anything that might hold us from going under for just a little while longer. We have to let the neocon disease run its course and just pray that at the end of it, all the scarring and the pain and the damage will not be so permanent and so hideous that we can't be seen in public for a decade." Well, I think maybe Mark Morford and I are saying something along the same lines. He sees it as a disease that we all have. I see it as a disease that others have and need to be quarantined, and that quarantine happens in November of this year, and it happens in a ballot box. Right? Yeah. Bush cronium. Bush cronium. So, you know, there's a lot to... FBI internet spying, we got that for tonight. One of the originators of the Nuremberg War Crimes Tribunals. Still alive. He says Bush could be tried for war crimes. We got that for tonight. We've got a little rebellion against the Golden Arches in New Jersey. Why? Why? Is it because they're cruel to the cows? No, no, no. Sad to say, no, this is a right-wing rebellion against McDonald's, so, well, you get the idea. All of that comes around here as we proceed through the course of about 2 hours and 45 more minutes. I hope you'll stick around. I hope you'll participate. The phone number here, of course, you probably know, although we grow by new listeners each and every day. For those who don't know, the phone number is 877-443-2366. 877, the number 4, head on. Email roars into my box at bob@headonradio.com. Learn it, know it, use it. This is Conversation Radio. Be part of it. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the Head On Radio Network.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network. There's a place on the web you can go where everything is so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there working hard for you every day. It's a place where you can go to raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. D-U-B-Y-A-D-40.com. So stop on by. The 101st Fighting Keyboardists of Kansas are ready to hear your opinion. There are topics of news, current events, and great humor. So let Clyde, Wally, and Dookie know that you're a working person too. WD40.com. Stop on by.
The president came out and talked about the Iraq War and how he had a strategy to win the peace. I have some exclusive audio. This is actually him preparing for the speech in front of the mirror. This is him laying out the strategy for Iraq.
Hi. That was the most coherent thing I've heard him say in ages, man.
What? You know, if he really spoke that way, it would be so much better for us all. Because at least then we would know that he's an incoherent bastard. We could have him locked up.
And that's just a taste of what Bruce and I got up to last weekend. Come and join us next weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. To get the stream details, go to 4thEstateRadio.com. That's 4thEstateRadio.com.
The lunatic is on the grass, remembering games and daisy chains and laughs. Got to keep the loonies on the path.
And thus we bid a fond farewell
the lunatic
to Syd Barrett, founding member of Pink Floyd, dead today at the age of 60 from complications resulting from diabetes. You know, when Pink Floyd was... when Pink Floyd were Bob, subject-verb agreement. We'll have to get the blackboard out channel grandmother, the teacher, to make you learn to diagram sentences again, you moron. When Pink Floyd were recording the Wish You Were Here album, as they were recording Shine On You Crazy Diamond, Syd Barrett walked in. You know, he'd been gone from the band for years, but walked in and he was all pudgy, and he had shaved his eyebrows off. And, well, you got to think that image sort of stuck with him, because... interesting, isn't it, that same image of Pink in the film version of The Wall where Bob Geldof plays Pink? Remember the scene where he's in the bathroom shaving his eyebrows off? And it's before he comes out as a Nazi? Yeah. And, of course, the whole, you know, Wish You Were Here and Shine On You Crazy Diamond, that, the lunatics around it. There are Syd Barrett references throughout the Pink Floyd oeuvre. The smart mom in the chat room says we can thank the sugar and corn industry for the... Yeah. Now, you realize there's a diabetes epidemic in the so-called civilized world now, right? I don't mean to harp on things that have already gone on, but I was profoundly moved and just... my thought processes were kind of rewired by Michael Pollan's book, The Omnivore's Dilemma, and by our conversation when he said, you know, we at this point, a whole sector of American business enterprise is geared around finding new stuff to do with corn, because we've let corn take over the American agricultural landscape. And not that wonderful, Bixby corn, is that what Bart Kopp loves so much? That sweet, wonderful corn, whether you put it on the grill or you boil it in water, and of course I love it, you know, with butter and a little Old Bay seasoning. No, not that corn. You could boil number two field corn till hell freezes over, or boils over for that matter, if we'll stick with the correct metaphor. You couldn't eat it, and it tastes terrible, and most of your food is made out of it now. Ascorbic acid, high fructose corn sweetener, the modified food starch. You see. But, yeah. And poor Syd Barrett. The guy, he really did. He was, you know, he only hung around Pink Floyd for a couple of years. Long enough to produce Piper at the Gates of Dawn, See Emily Play, Arnold Lane. Released a couple of albums, I think, in 1970. and yet was a profound influence on a very young David Bowie, who immediately felt the need to run out and then just, well, what David Bowie did. But it was sad to read about. Because although he was out of the limelight, he was an icon among monumental proportions. So, you know, goodbye, Sid Barrett. Goodbye. It's half past the hour. And the next thing, New Jersey. We're going to New Jersey after the break. Jersey? Yeah, you from Jersey? I'm from Jersey. Yeah, what exit? So when we come back, a New Jersey story. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Ralph. Listen, would you go out with me tomorrow?
At 8? Ralph, I'd love to.
Well, I have an appointment with my orthopedic surgeon, and I really want you to come along.
A doctor's office? That's so special. Oh, I just remembered I have to delete some emails.
Come on, Louise. We're going to talk about the pain in my hip, and I could use a little support.
I guess I'm not very hip.
You could take notes and help me remember stuff. Look, I have all my doctor questions written down, but there's so much to remember. I need you there with me so I don't miss anything.
Couldn't we just play miniature golf?
Louise, I'm not asking for a kidney.
Bringing someone to your appointment is a good way to make sure you and your physician are on the same page. The idea is to partner with your doctor and share information so you can make informed decisions together. For more on patient-doctor communications, visit orthoinfo.org, a message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, where patient-centered care means getting better together.
This is Lee Hamilton
and Ron Saracen of the U.S. Capitol Historical Society.
Our Capitol has hosted some of the great debates of our history,
and we're both proud to have served here.
But there is no guarantee that representative democracy will simply continue on.
We all need to ask ourselves whether we're doing our part as citizens,
staying informed, engaging elected officials, and being active in our communities.
It's our history.
And it's also our future.
Get involved.
In the early hours after the tsunami, it was ham radio that was on the air, saving lives. When Florida was ripped by hurricanes, the hams were there. In the critical moments after the attack of 9/11, it was the hams who coordinated emergency messages. When disasters strike, the hams are ready. Ham radio works, and other communications don't. To learn how you can become a ham radio operator, call the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, at 1-800-326-3942.
What's it like?
What's it like?
It's lonely.
It's really lonely.
I miss my brother.
I miss my brother.
I'm surrounded by other people, but it's not the same.
I've got other people around me, but it's not the same.
It's pretty scary, but I don't let it rattle me.
It's pretty scary around here, but I don't let it rattle me.
You always have to watch your back.
There's no one to watch my back.
I spend my whole day worried who's out to get me.
I'm always wondering who's out to get me.
But I can take care of myself.
But I can take care of myself.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
It's not like I have a choice.
It's not like I have a choice.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
Go to jail for a gun crime and your family serves a sentence with you. Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
If you replace teacher with W, it scans the same. It still works. Any musicians out there want to take a run at it? Welcome back. We're about 25 minutes before the hour. I'm Bob. This is Head On a Tuesday night. And, doggone it. These are real news stories. I couldn't do this if they weren't. Bergen County, New Jersey. A little town called Bogota. Now, if it was in Colombia, we know that would be Bogota. It's in Jersey, however, and I got no clue. Bogota? Bogota? Maybe it's Bogota in New Jersey, too. I don't know. But the mayor of Bogota, the mayor of Bogota, New Jersey, wants to boycott McDonald's. Yes, Lord, yes. The mayor of Bogota, New Jersey wants to boycott McDonald's. Dang quarter pounders put 300 and a quarter pounds on me. No. Bogota Mayor Steve Lonergan he's got his maiden forms all in a twist. Because McDonald's won't take down a Spanish language billboard advertising iced coffee. Now, we'll just take a minute and let that settle in. 20% of Bogota, New Jersey, there in Bergen County, is Hispanic. You know, we used to have listeners in New Jersey. I haven't heard from them in a while. We had a good friend, what was it? Brian. Early listener to the program all the way back in the bad old days of terrestrial radio. Still out there, Brian? He says that the advertisement for... just wait for it. I don't know that this guy... I don't know that Steve Lonergan's a Republican, but... It certainly is Republican behavior, wouldn't you agree? Because he says the advertisement is... It's offensive. And it's divisive. Because it says that the Hispanic immigrants don't need to learn English. Now, bear in mind, I was out and about today, and I was out and about on a good cause. I'm going to tell you, I can't tell you when yet, but there's going to be another program coming to the Horn. The Head On Radio Network. It will be coming to the Horn. It'll run from noon to 2 Eastern time. A very good friend of ours, Dr. Bill O'Brien, will be joining the Horn family just a couple of days a week at first, and then hopefully expanding as things go on. But I was talking with Dr. Bill a little bit about the show today. And on the way back, I was listening to the station that I used to carry my program over in Beckley, in the fifth smallest radio market in America. And the station over there is so broke now, after they got rid of Dr. Bill and me, and they've only got one prattling little right-winger left over there, who was, incidentally, yeah, I caught this part too, talking about how...
well, if the ice melts in a glass, the water in the glass doesn't overflow, therefore global warming is a big liberal myth.
What?
Really? Really? Not, yeah. Oh.
Oh, bad.
One of these days, if you get bored, I'll tell you how to go and listen to this freak in the morning. You know, but I, you know, especially you West Coasters, man. I mean, he's doing this at like 10 a.m. Eastern. You wouldn't be able to keep breakfast down. It's wee. I'm on my way back, and they're so broke now they can't afford to pay out the $4,000 or $5,000 or $9,000 a year that they had to pay. Did you know this? You have to pay to run Flush Flimball. They can't afford to run him anymore. So they ditched Flush and picked up Neil Bortz, who, you know, would, you know, he's so desperate to get picked up, if it's required of him that he play piano in a whorehouse too, to get, he'll do that. And he's just a hateful old racist. I'm sure you're familiar with Bortz. But anyway, so he had this guy filling in for him, who I will hazard a guess is an African-American fella, who was talking about how, and I got to tell you, this guy had a very profound Southern accent and was out there talking about how the Mexicans won't learn to speak proper English. Now, at this point, the little hash mark thingies on the side of the road where if you sort of veer over them on, you can hear your tires going, brrr. I did that several times listening to this joker. And I'm not gonna do the accent for fear. Oh, you know, look at him. He's really right. No. But this guy could not speak English. But that's what you get out of this debate. And our friend Lottie in the chat room informs me that yes, Steve Lonergan is a Republican. He lost the Republican nomination for governor a year or so back. And yeah, so it makes perfect sense. This guy's a right-wing nut. Wing nut. The true things that bind us together as neighbors and community is our belief in the American flag and our common language. And when McDonald's sends a different message that we're going to be different now, that causes resentment. Yeah, looking at it right here. This guy, iced coffee. An iced coffee, a billboard advertising iced coffee is causing resentment. And you know, you don't want to cause the resentment. You know, I gotta call my cousin. Huh. Oh, did I just whine? I hope I didn't. Was that a whine or was that a sigh of disgust? Okay, I don't want it to be a whine. Iced coffee. We can't... Spanish for iced coffee? Somebody help me. Cafe, C-A-F-E, right? Okay. And Steve Lonergan's afraid that Americans will forget that it's coffee. It ain't no cafe. It's coffee.
Well-rounded guy.
Oh, okay. Here it is. See, Bob, you doofus, you got to read the rest of the article. The text of the advertisement in Bogota reads, "Un frente helado se aproxima. Nuevo café helado." Okay, so my Spanish, not so caliente, okay? A cold front is coming. Un frente helado se aproxima. Okay, a cold front is coming. Nuevo café helado. New iced coffee. And this is causing resentment. We don't want no resentment in Bogota, New Jersey. Jeebus. You know, and I got to say something about McDonald's. I won't eat their food. Okay? I just won't. We tried a couple of weeks ago in a state of hunger and duress. We went through the midnight drive through at McDonald's, and I could have patched a punctured tire with what passed for their little chicken patty on the, but it tastes like crap that you can live on. No, it tastes like crap and you can't live on it, Agnes. But anyway, I gotta come to McDonald's defense in Jersey Day. Well, I mean, what all else is going on in Bogota, New Jersey? I don't know. But I'm guessing that there are potholes in the streets. Yeah, of course there are, because there's a Democratic administration there, because it's not conservative enough. I don't know whose accent I'm doing here. I'm just funning. Don't get mad. I've been doing this, But anyway, no, I gotta come to McDonald's defense on this. And I gotta say a kind thing about McDonald's. My dad likes to drink his coffee out of McDonald's styrofoam coffee cups. Mugs are kind of heavy and unwieldy now. So I walked in there today and reached into my pocket and got out a $5 bill or whatever, and I looked at the manager and I explained why I was there. I needed a sleeve of the regular size coffee cups. I said, "How much are they?" And she just hands them to me. She says, "Yeah, take them. It's okay. Thank you." Now I don't know. If you told some bean counter at the McDonald's home office, they'd probably have that manager fired. So I'm not going to say where I was. But it was a decent thing, and it's happened in other places too that I've gone in and done that. And so, we commend people when they do the decent and human things. You go in there, the people in McDonald's are very nice. The people are very nice. The food, not so much. But the people are very nice. And you know what? That's the other thing. I'm a guy who drinks decaffeinated coffee. I don't drink caffeine. Boy, I could probably almost qualify for the special underwear in that one strange church, couldn't I? No caffeine, no stimulants. But they make a great cup of decaf, and I can imagine if they're offering it in a decaffeinated version, I would like to have a cup of that cold front that is se aproxima. But not Steve, no, not Steve Lonergan. Lonergan. That's a Native American word meaning river of death, isn't it, Agnes? Lonergan, help me, that's Arapaho. Lonergan is Arapaho. Of course it's not. Because, 100 years or so ago, there were signs probably around Bergen County, New Jersey, that said things like, "Irish need not apply." And there were cartoons published in newspapers, editorial cartoons, that showed ghastly, cruel caricatures of Irish people, usually holding a potato in one hand and a bottle of liquor in the other. And Steve Lonergan's great-great-grandma and great-great-granddaddy, when they were little bitty-bitty Lonergans, looked at those signs that said, "No Irish need apply. No Irish allowed." And they wondered if they had made a mistake leaving the Emerald Isle to come to this land of freedom. They wondered if they had made a mistake. Because it was mean and it was hurtful, the rotten things that the people who were already here said about the people who had just gotten here. The generation that arrives here brings their language with them. The next generation learns to speak English better than people who have been here for 19 dozen generations. That's the way it works. But, not for a godless, soulless, motherless Repiglican. like Steve Lonergan. I pity the people of, but then again, you know, unless it's some little weird little fiefdom, people elected Steve Lonergan mayor of Bogota. And so, you know, insofar as you are represented by the people for whom you vote, can we say that Bogota, New Jersey, as weirdly racist as Steve Lonergan himself is? You know, Steve, buddy, don't take on McDonald's. That clown dude will come and put a cow's head in your bed. Yeah, so two cannibals are eating a clown, and one looks at the other one and says, "Does this taste funny to you?" Now, let's take a break. That's coming up on about 10 minutes before the hour. When we come back, I don't know, is there anything left to say about Steve Lonergan? I think that their boilerplate press release is totally meaningless. It shows their utter disregard for this community. Oh, we'll be back. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the Head On Radio Network.
When Bruce and I filled in for Bob Kincaid, we didn't know what to expect, but we sure didn't expect a call from the decider.
I told Walmart to sell the Easter egg dye kits, you know, the ones with the resurrection egg. We decided at Camp David that we were going to support Walmart and go with what the Lord told them and buy some of them resurrection egg kits. And, you know, I found the resurrection egg. God spoke to me through that egg. And God told me that I am the fourth member of the Holy Trinity. We're calling it the Holy Quadraphonic. And so now I'm the fourth voice of the Holy Trinity. So now I've got four voices in my head. I have the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and the decider. I'm the decider. I get to decide.
Don't miss Head On with Bob Kincaid weekdays 7 to 10 p.m. and Fourth Estate Radio with John Fox and Bruce Birch Saturdays 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com. That's cupojoe.blogspot.com. Now get back to work.
Hello, this is Guy James, host of The Guy James Show. If you like factual, hard-hitting, liberal radio, yes, I said liberal, then I believe you'll like our show. We're a proud member of the Head On Radio Network, heard Monday through Friday, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time at theguyjamesshow.com. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe, are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
On the day the wall came down, they threw the locks onto the ground, and with glasses high, we raised a cry, the freedom had arrived. On the day the wall came down, the ship of fools had finally run aground. Promises.
All right, 5 minutes before the hour. Just a couple of minutes before we go to the top of the hour newscast. I was asked, and I guess I neglected to say, I was asked what time slot Dr. Bill O'Brien will be filling. I may not have said it. He'll be on from noon to 2 Eastern. Like I said, just starting a couple of days during the week and hopefully expanding more later. But you're in for a treat. Bill O'Brien, Dr. Bill O'Brien, is a Ph.D. history professor. You want context? When you talk to Bill O'Brien, you get context. It's, you know, I'm not going to say it. It's not, no, I don't think the program is going to be anything like a classroom experience. But he has a depth and an understanding that I think is going to be unlike honest to God, anybody else out there right now. And by virtue of having spent years and years and years in the classroom trying to impart knowledge to eager little minds, now eager, you know, young people and non-traditional students as well, he has a real ability to convey the substance, not just the headline, but the substance of a story. Now, when's this all going to happen? I can't tell you yet. But it will happen, and it will happen, it would happen soon, with relatively speaking. So I hope you'll be there when the time comes, because, again, you're in for a treat, and since it is a horn program, you can rest assured that it will be conversation-based. So if you want to engage in this conversation, you'll be able to. You won't be on hold for 9 dozen hours, and it won't be, well, thank you for calling the program, that's enough about you, let's talk about me. We don't do Republican radio here. You know that from listening to this program, Bruce's, guys. This is listener-driven radio. This is the new paradigm. So it'll be noon to 2, like I said, probably Tuesdays and Wednesdays starting off, but I hope expanding even more. And as things develop and as we know exactly when that kickoff will be, we will certainly let you know. But, on those 2 days, it'll be a nice lead-in to our good friend Mark Levine. And I think, I'm just amazed with the lineup that we're building here. And doing it all out of nothing but dedication and passion. And with the support of some really, really committed, hard-working folks over at the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. This is something that we are immensely proud of, what we're accomplishing here. You know, it's America's little front porch, the horn. So it is time to go to the top of the hour news when we come back. Oh, where do you want to go when we come back? You want to talk about the FBI wanting to spy on us some more? You do know that's out there. They want to put a gun to the head of software manufacturers. Charming, isn't it? Yeah, I think we will, unless there's something else that you want to go into. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. Security in New York City and other major U.S. cities has been heightened following today's attacks in Mumbai, India. More than 140 rail passengers were killed and more than 400 injured in 7 bombings. Authorities are calling it a well-coordinated terrorist attack. Officials believe the 7 bombs were masterminded by an Indian Muslim who has links to Al-Qaeda. In Washington today, the Pentagon changed course regarding its detainees in U.S. custody. Bush administration officials now say they will be afforded protections of the Geneva Convention. The Bush administration is also asking Congress to pass legislation that would revive the military tribunals. A Pentagon official testified today in front of a Senate committee saying that approving the commissions would help move the trials forward. In Baghdad today, 16 people were killed in 2 suicide bombings near the heavily fortified Green Zone. A total of 50 people were killed today in various attacks, including beheadings, shootings, and car bombs. In North Korea, an official has reportedly agreed to return to 6-party talks over disarmament, but that's only if the U.S. drops any financial sanctions against the country. Yesterday, the council delayed a vote on whether to impose sanctions on North Korea. In Brussels, an Iranian official met with the European Union's foreign policy chief about Iran's nuclear program. However, no progress was reported on the issue. World powers have demanded an answer to its package of incentives by the time they meet this weekend in Russia. In Gaza, witnesses say Israeli troops entered the central Gaza Strip today, expanding their offensive as they continue trying to win the release of an abducted Israeli soldier. Also today, the Palestinian prime minister accused the U.S. of collaborating with the Israelis to weaken the Hamas-led Palestinian government. In Washington today, President Bush credited his tax cuts for a forecasted drop in the federal deficit. The new White House figures show that it's expected to be $296 billion rather than the $423 billion predicted earlier. On Capitol Hill, the House passed a measure that would ban the use of credit cards and online money transfers for online gambling. Each year, online gambling brings in an estimated $12 billion. In Washington, the government announced that more than $5 billion in grants is available for post-Katrina housing. $4 billion of that will go toward helping Louisiana residents rebuild or sell their homes. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Business news is next.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
The National Academy of Sciences says global warming could harm California's wine industry. The agency says the growing season for grapes will be cut because of more hot days in Napa, Sonoma, and Santa Barbara counties. Delphi has posted an $828 million loss in the fourth quarter. The bankrupt auto parts maker partly blames high costs and falling production in North America. The CEO of cookware and home furnishings retailer Williams Sonoma announced today that he's retiring. The company has experienced disappointing sales at its Pottery Barn chain. Google has announced plans to open an advertising facility in Michigan. The facility is expected to employ 1,000 workers within 5 years. Bill Gates says Microsoft's Windows Vista will probably be ready by January. The new operating system is still in its testing stage, where problems are still being uncovered and fixed. Nielsen Media Research will begin measuring how many people watch television commercials starting in the fall. The Wall Street Journal reports it's the first time the company will provide ratings for television ads. Forbes magazine has come out with a list of the most overpriced places to live in the U.S. At the top of the list are Essex County, Massachusetts, San Francisco, and San Jose, California. Light sweet crude settled at $74.16 a barrel today. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 31 points at 11,135. NASDAQ up 12 at 2129. S&P 500 up 5. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Okay. I said I was going to move on to the FBI spying thingy. No, I'm not. Sorry. We'll get to it. And, you know, look, I talked all last week about the Austrian story. I never got to that. Here, let's get that. No, let's go to what matters. We've got an update on our friend Lieutenant Aaron Watada. You know, of course, that prior to being charged, he was muzzled and confined to base and allowed contact with no one but his lawyer. Couldn't even see his mother. His father. And that was before he was charged. And since then, he has been charged, of course. He was charged with, missing deployment and conduct unbecoming an officer and contempt toward officials. Contempt toward officials means that the Army has charged him with not sufficiently loving dear leader. Welcome to 21st century America, where it is a crime for a soldier to think that a draft-dodging, liquor-swilling, cocaine-snorting, car-wrecking, baby-murdering, Bush, to think that maybe he doesn't want to follow that kind of trash into a war. Yeah, trash. We don't use that. We don't use that word a lot, but that's what the Bush family is. The Bush family's trash. Without trying to get too overtly racist or being accused of reverse racism or something, the phrase I think that is used most commonly, at least where I grew up, to describe families like the Bushes is white trash. And they are. I mean, if you look at the history of the Bush family, they have never made an honest dollar in their lives. Somewhere way, 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 way back, the whole con started when some Bush or some Walker or some Pierce or some got a divinity degree from Yale, and it's been all downhill since then. But anyway, this just out today. Dateline Seattle. The story is from Reuters. It's one of those moments when I just kind of sit here and sort of tap my little foot on the floor and kick my heel into the legs of the chair, and oh boy, if only. The U.S. Army plans to call two journalists as witnesses to support charges filed against an officer who refused to fight in Iraq because of his objections to the war, the lieutenant's lawyer said on Monday. They're going to call Greg Kakisako, a reporter for the Honolulu Star Bulletin, and they're going to call Sarah Olson, an independent journalist. Well, may I suggest to Ms. Olson and Mr. Kakisako that I wouldn't be answering any unsolicited door knocks during the day or during the night right now, because they can't make him come there if they can't get a subpoena in his hands. Because they are not subject to the Uniform Code of Military Justice, and they don't have to follow the military stinking orders. Why does this remind me a whole lot of that line from Alice's Restaurant, where he goes into the psychologist? And I said, shrink, are you asking me, after being convicted of littering, am I moral enough to join the Army and go and kill and heap dead burnt babies and jump veins in my teeth? Are you asking me that, shrink? You remember that? It was funny when it was in Alice's Restaurant. It was also very, very telling. But Lord, 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 how I would love to be called by those sick freaks on that court-martial. How I would love to be called. Oh, I would live for that. No screaming, no ranting, no raving. Just a completely uncooperative witness. I'm not a member of the military. You know, does a non-member of the military have a duty to tell the truth on the stand? In a military tribunal? Under whose authority? What a sick bunch of crap this Ouattara affair is. And as was mentioned on the program last night, he is in dire need, Lieutenant Ouattara is, of funds with which to defend himself. And you know what? I sincerely doubt that there's a liberal foundation out there that's going to pay his legal bills, when in fact he should have, if there was any justice in this world, in this nation, he should have all the money necessary to hire the most celebrated defense attorney. You know, maybe Flush Flimball's lawyer, Roy Black. Or maybe Jerry Spence. Or maybe, who's the other one I'm thinking about? But the money should be there to hire those guys, because I'm sure that they could eat some little pissant captain for lunch. God, I want him to have a good defense. Because you realize that if he has a good defense, Lieutenant Ouattara has the opportunity to do what no other human being has had a chance to do, and that is put George W. Stinkin' Bush on trial. Lieutenant Ouattara has that opportunity. If you've got a little bit to spare to help with his defense, you can go to thankyoult.org. This guy's muzzled up. He can't even reach out to the community. The best we could do, the best he could do was an automated phone call, just updating people on what his status was and asking for help. If we who want this Iraq war over yesterday do not support Lieutenant Ouattara, I don't know what anti-war cause there is that's worth supporting. I read somewhere that Camp Casey is moving to hither or thither, and I love and I honor and I respect the work that Cindy Sheehan is doing. She ought to be camped out outside Fort Lewis, Washington. Not that I give orders or anything. But that is where the fight to end this illegal, immoral, filthy, murderous bloodbath, that's where the fight to end that is right now. Should we go to the phones now, Agnes? Our good friend Mike is calling from Woodstock, New York. Welcome, Mike.
Hey, how you been?
I'm well. Yourself?
I'm good. Back up in the country. I was in the city for a little while. Much nicer up here.
Yes, I tend to agree.
Yeah. And you made a comment about the, if Mike Malloy calls them, the Bush crime family, and how their roots go deeply into the criminal syndicate of the family. It runs for a long time. It really, the first major strike is in they're selling the first version of the IBM computers to the Nazis, and these were used in the 30s to do what they called racial tracking. So they would make maps with these early computers that would show you where the Jews, the Gypsies, the homosexuals, the handicapped, where they lived. And he was convicted of trading with the enemy during World War II and fined.
1943, you're absolutely right. It's public record.
And I went, you know, Kellogg, Brown, and Root was the company. And, you know, I was down by Wall Street the other day, and that's a big, old, stately building down there that still stands. So these guys, they've been doing this stuff forever. They've been responsible for the murder of millions.
Yeah, not Kellogg, Brown, and Root, Mike. I think you're thinking about Brown Brothers Harriman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Brown Brothers Harriman. And, yes, Prescott Bush was a an executive with that firm, and he worked with a German financier by the name of Fritz Thyssen. And I believe it was IG Farben was the name of the country that Thyssen headed, Bush helped finance.
Well, so there's books written on the subject, and I've heard discussions of this, but people in this country, it's like if you commit a crime 5 minutes ago, nobody remembers it, and these people have been responsible for the death of millions over a long period of time, and I think these people need to have the day of reckoning. I think there need to be trials, and I really think these people need to not be involved in the U.S. political system. I don't know how that's going to happen, but I think that's where we're going.
Well, I think it does have to happen, and it's interesting you should bring that up, Mike, because there's an excellent article. I got it over at truthout.org. It originates at Alternet by Jan Frell or Jan Frell. The title of the piece is Could Bush Be Prosecuted for War Crimes? And this is a detailing of an interview with one of the original Nuremberg prosecutors, Benjamin Ferencz.
Mm.
And he says that Bush could clearly be charged and prosecuted under the international treaties, international laws.
Sure. I mean, Kissinger can't travel to most countries, right?
Right, because he would be arrested. He would be given the Pinochet treatment.
Right. And, that's the way it should be. Anyway, that was my brief comment.
All right, well, thank you much, Mike. Glad to know you're back from the city and back in God's country. Has the flooding subsided?
Yeah, it has. It's created some interesting new little swimming holes in my backyard. I'm happy to report.
Well, nature does that.
It does.
All right, thanks, Mike.
Take care, bye.
Bye now. Yeah, Benjamin Ferencz says what he did is he's the one who put forward, it was his theory, that unprovoked or aggressive war is the highest crime against mankind. He's responsible for that. And he says, quote, a prima facie case can be made that the United States is guilty of the supreme crime against humanity, that being an illegal war of aggression against a sovereign nation. And from the article, he says, the United Nations Charter has a provision which was agreed to by the United States, formulated by the United States, in fact, after World War II. It says that from now on, no nation can use armed force without the permission of the UN Security Council. They can use force in connection with self-defense, but a country can't use force in anticipation of self-defense. Regarding Iraq, the last Security Council resolution essentially said, look, send the weapons inspectors out to Iraq, have them come back and tell us what they found, then we'll figure out what we're going to do. Ferencz notes, the U.S. was impatient and decided to invade Iraq, which was all prearranged, of course, so the United States went to war in violation of the Charter. He says it's a clear breach of law. Now, let's bounce back from that just for a moment to the Ouattara story. In the Ouattara story, the charging documents. Because, you see, when you are charged under the Uniform Code of Military Injustice, you're not entitled to an indictment as you are under the Constitution of the United States, because in order to join the military, you have to give up your constitutional rights, or at least a good number of them. The charging sheet quotes Lieutenant Ouattara as saying the following, quote, as I read about the level of deception the Bush administration used to initiate and process this war, I was shocked. I became ashamed of wearing the uniform. Sit back, take a breath. As Mark Morford noted in the column that I started the program with, grab a scotch. Make something tinkle with the ice cubes in the glass. you're probably going to need a double. Because in 21st century America, for a soldier to say, I was ashamed to wear the uniform, is enough to put you away for 7 long, long years while George Bush sleeps soundly every night with the blood of 1/10 of a million people on his hands.
Hey you, out there in the cold, getting lonely, getting old, can you feel me? Hey you, standing in the aisles with itchy feet and fainting smiles, can you feel me? Hey you, don't help them to bury the lie. Don't give in without a fight.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Listen, man. Adding fractions is no big deal.
Nah?
Nah. You just gotta find what they call the common denominator. Let me show you.
All right.
Now, see these bottom numbers?
Yeah.
These are the denominators. That one's a 4 and that one's an 8.
Mm-hmm.
You just double both of these numbers so that becomes an 8 too. Then you add them up.
Man, you sure make this easy.
Charles Bennett always dreamed that after college he'd return to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without the money for tuition, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Oh, sure.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. Call 1-800-332-UNCF. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the Supreme Court? I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what goes on inside the Beltway, it helps to have a Beltway insider. And I know what's going on in Washington because I used to work there as a congressional attorney. And my sources still give me the inside scoop. So check out the inside scoop. Weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
sunny day.
Minutes past the hour. I'm Bob. How the evenings do slip by. No, so you know now that what they want to put Lieutenant Watada away for is saying, as I read about the level of deception the Bush administration used to initiate and process this war, I was shocked. I became ashamed of wearing the uniform. Now, his lawyer, a man named Seitz, says the comments have been basically directed toward the way in which we went to war. He's not out to call the president names or be disrespectful to his superiors. And you see, I guess I'm enough of an individualist that even something like that bothers me. I remember catching hell a few years ago in a discussion about, again, dear leader, and having people call me, and you know, back then in the America's fifth smallest radio market, they'd, you know, the weird little cancerous Bush voters would, I think you need to show more respect for the office. I know you don't like George Bush, but I think you need to show more respect for the office. And my only question, and I guess it's about halfway smart alecky, was which part of the office? The chair, the rug, the desk? That whole respect for the office thing is a bugaboo. When the office is occupied by a murderer, when the office is occupied by a killer, when the office is occupied by an old cocaine freak and drunk, remember, George Bush is the first man ever to bring a criminal record, for the love of God, a criminal record, to the White House. When that office is occupied by the likes of that, the office is not entitled to respect. So too, with these people who say that, well, about disrespectful to his superiors, I could never survive in the military. Because for me, respect is earned. It is not a given commodity that is delineated by a couple of pieces of costume jewelry on a shoulder bar. Respect is earned. And frankly, for any officer willing to... No, look, this is just the way I see things. Any officer willing to sit on that court-martial loses my respect. Better he should never have entered the military. Better he should resign his commission than besmirch himself with a question of whether or not Aaron Watada loved dear leader enough. That is un-American. It is un-American to suggest that a soldier has no right, as he is cast into an unnecessary meat grinder in the sand. It is un-American to suggest that he cannot say a word about it. The days of ours is not to question why, ours is but to do and die, went out with, oh, who was that? Alfred Lord Tennyson, charge of the Light Brigade. That is so 19th century. Because, again, Benjamin Ferrens, a lot of things happened after the Second World War. And one of the things that happened after the Second World War was a tacit statement on the part of the United States and Great Britain and France and the rest of the Allies looking at the rest of the world and saying, here are the new rules. And the new rules say that if your superiors are doing evil, you not only have a right to refuse to do that evil, you have an affirmative duty not to do that evil. I'm no Holocaust denier. I'm certainly no defender of the Reich. But the fact of the matter is German soldiers went to prison because we, the United States, found that in a situation in which they should have known better, they continued to participate in the most ghastly of atrocities. The trial of Lieutenant Aaron Wittada will make this nation nothing but a gang of hypocrites, and more so the American military. And that is a shame. Lord God, that is a shame and a blot upon the blood shed by patriots for the last 230 years. It is dishonor of the highest form. Let's take a break. When we come back, your phone calls, they're always welcome at 877-443-2366, 877-4, head on. Email bob@headonradio.com. This is the Head On Radio Network.
Guy James, host of The Guy James Show. If you like factual, hard-hitting, liberal radio, yes, I said liberal, then I believe you'll like our show. We're a proud member of the Head On Radio Network, heard Monday through Friday, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time at theguyjamesshow.com. You heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.
Has anyone ever said, you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
And I'm Jesse Russell.
The AFL-CIO and the U.S. Business and Industry Council are co-hosting a conference on the U.S. trade crisis today in Washington, D.C. AFL-CIO Policy Director Thea Lee says a foreign trade deficit of more than $720 billion a year is unsustainable.
This isn't just labor, but it's also business and agriculture that are all being hurt by our trade policy.
Lee says the AFL-CIO has specific trade proposals to shake things up and attack the trade deficit.
One is an across-the-board temporary import surcharge. That is a tariff and is actually legal under WTO rules, under World Trade Organization rules. Article 12 provides when countries have a serious and chronic balance of payments problem, they are allowed to use a trade surcharge.
The AFL-CIO also wants the dollar devalued and supports a trade balancing system proposed by billionaire investor Warren Buffett that would match dollar values of exports and imports to restore a healthy trade balance.
Inmates in Texas are not entitled to a federal minimum wage. That was the ruling from the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals on Friday in response to a sex offender's contention that his job in the state prison laundry entitles him to $5.15 per hour. The court said compulsory prison work is not a violation of the Constitution, and the failure of a state to specifically sentence an inmate to hard labor doesn't change the rules. The inmate wanted his wages credited to his inmate trust fund. The 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals recently filed a similar ruling stating that individuals are not imprisoned for the purpose of enabling them to earn a living.
B.F. Goodrich has told the United Steelworkers Union that it plans to cut production 30-40% at its Opelika, Alabama plant. Cheap overseas labor markets like China are cutting into U.S. tire production for the U.S. market. The USW is in national master contract talks with the tire industry, and B.F. Goodrich is the target company.
After 3 days on the strike lines, more than 200 nurses in Dubuque, Iowa, returned to work this past weekend, still with no contract on the table. The nurses are at odds with Findlay Hospital over work rules, staffing issues, and pay. Represented by the Service Employees International Union, talks are scheduled to start again on Monday. The union says nurses are prepared to return to the picket lines if a compromise can't be reached.
Here's today's economic report. Job creation over the past 3 months has averaged 108,000 a month in the U.S. That's less than what's needed to keep pace with population growth. Paul Craig Roberts, former associate editor of the Wall Street Journal editorial page and former assistant secretary of the Treasury under Reagan, says that jobs being created now are lower paid than the ones being lost to outsourcing. And that, he says, is one reason for the decline in real median household income for working families over the past 5 years. You've been listening to WIND, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
And it's 22 and a half minutes before the hour, and I'm Bob Kincaid. I confess, we don't have See Emily Play, and we don't have Arnold Lane, and we don't have Piper at the Gates of Dawn, but we can at least play a little bit of Pink Floyd in honor of Syd Barrett. To the phones. Our good friend Ed is calling from Coal River. Hey, Ed, how you doing?
Fine for you tonight.
Ah, I'm doing good.
How's family?
Doing well, thanks.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. Hey, Bob, first I want to thank you for recognizing all of our fellow soldiers that's out there in the world today, and I really appreciate you looking at them there and recognizing their efforts. And second, Bob, I was listening to your show last night,
mm-hmm.
and it was on the humane workers issue there, and I listened to it quite a while. The more I thought about it, and I got to thinking about our kids down here at the Marsh Fork Elementary.
Sure.
And, this is a humane issue on these kids. I mean, even the teachers, they've been brainwashed and in denial and got greed. And, I listened to your program the other day, with the president of the teachers union there, and I was in tears over that. I mean, that really, really touched me that the man spoke out, and I really want to thank you for giving him that question that you give him on the March 4th issue. But, when you got your kids coming on home from the bus, and, they, two or three of them get out here playing, and they, you sit and, we've had remarks. People say, people tell these kids this stuff that the dam is bad and this is bad and all these problems, and they get to thinking it, and they're so wrong. The kids get off the bus and they come home, and you get them a little bite to eat, and you sit there, and they got the neighbor friends over, and you listen to them say, "Well, we jump when they bomb down there," You know, for years, you know, I've been on this river for way over 20 years, and my dad's from on this river, and grandparents have been here for a few generations. And, you know, the last 20 years, you know, I know people that moved their kids upriver to the Glen Daniels area because they was afraid of the impoundment because when it rained really hard down here. The problem's been going on a long way, and nobody would just step up and say nothing.
Right.
But when you got your kids sitting there saying, you know, they're off in a distance and you hear them, we jump when they bomb down there, or we didn't get all of our recess, a such and such teacher had to rush us in from recess because the dust got so bad down there. And, you know, that's inhumane, you know.
It is inhumane.
The people that's in charge, this is what's really bothering me. Our state and county school board people, they need to get their hands out of the coal business. Let the coal people in the government take care of that problem. They need to get back to basics, get back to education, get back to protecting our kids. That's what, you know, when I growed up, my mother, she made damn sure I went to school because she knew where I was at all day long. She had to work. My father had to work. She knew where I was at. She knew I was safe. She knew I was being took care of. And you know, you got people now running this system that's got their hands tied up in the coal business. And this is wrong. These people need to get back to basics, back to education, back to their responsibility of taking our kids, not inhumane purposes. And anybody that's working on these school boards that would sit and allow this to even happen, this should have never, ever happened. There's something wrong in the system somewhere.
Well, the system is completely sick, Ed, and I'm not going away from the issue you brought up because everything you have said is God's honest and unflyblown truth. But we are going backwards. I don't know if you caught the story today, and this is West Virginia stuff, but, you know, it's the kind of thing that's happening all over the country. Did you see this thing today where there are people in state government that want to hire the Wackenhut Prison Corporation to run the state's mental hospitals? Did you see that?
No, I didn't, Bob. No.
It's the same kind of backwards thinking because there is an element in our state government and in the state governments all over this country, Ed, that says that government is no good unless it's married up with some profit-generating business. And that's fascism, Ed.
Right.
And it's fascism when the West Virginia state government is married up with the coal business. It's fascism when they want to bring in private contractors to help the absolute to run the absolutely the facilities for the absolutely most helpless among us.
That's right. We've got some people over in Mingo County that the state level has come in and took over their county schools. And what they're wanting to do, they got some schools over there that's not very old. They're really good schools, and they're wanting to close these schools down and consolidate these kids back up on top of it's 10 miles away from the nearest town.
And yeah.
It's on top of a mountaintop removal strip site, and if you would hear their contract that they got fixed up with them, it's just unbelievable. They got it fixed up to where they have a right-of-way to take mining equipment and stuff right through the school property, and it's on top of a valley fill. And I was talking to a gentleman this evening that's trying to stop this, and actually the people in Mingo County has pulled together and heard about the Marsh Fork issue. They don't want the money. They want to give at least half the money, if not all the money, to the kids at Marsh Fork. And there's another humane issue. I mean, you know, why put these kids away from any county help that they could have if anything would go wrong, such as fire departments, ambulances, or anything, 10 miles away up on a strip site. And there's all kinds of toxins already there. The fertilizers they use to blow these mountains up with to make these places level is all over the area.
Yes.
And these kids are going to be breathing the same thing our kids are breathing. And these people don't want it. And
well, Ed, what makes them think that building a school on a mountaintop removal site is going to be any more of a stable facility than that boondoggle of a prison they built on one in Kentucky? You know, they call that Sink Sink.
It's exactly right. I know exactly what you're talking about. I discussed that with him, and I told him I knew of four places that was on that issue. They actually built another vocational school on top of a... It was an impoundment where they put this sludge, this toxic sludge. After they get done with them, they try to cap them off with whatever stuff they got, rock or dirt or what have you. They try to cap them off, and then they go in there and build on top of this, too. They built a vocational school on top of a toxic sludge pool. You know, and it's going to sink, and the vapors coming up out of there surely couldn't be, you know, no good for you. It's ridiculous what's going on here in the state of West Virginia, and I urge the people in the state of West Virginia and therefore in and around the country to pay attention and step aboard with Pennies of Promise and join us all in the walk that I'm getting ready to take. And it could happen in their town, too. It's happening in other towns. It's happening all over West Virginia. It's happening in Kentucky. It's happening in Tennessee. And it's just not about the Marshport kids now. It's about all the kids around.
Well, sure. And the thing is, Ed, if the facts about Marsh Fork Elementary were laid out there and you didn't say West Virginia and you didn't say United States, if you just said there's a school out there where the children have to fear... being drowned in poisonous goo every day, and they have to breathe poisonous filth in the air, and they're next to a chemical processing plant that could kill them at any moment. If that story was put out there, and you didn't put West Virginia, or you didn't put the United States on it, you'd think it was in some backward third world country.
You're exactly right. And here they want to go ahead here at the Marsh Fork and put in a picket silo. Now, that hearing's going to be on the 24th, we found out yesterday. They're going to go ahead and here at the school on the 24th at 6 o'clock. And, you know, that's a slap in the face to our children and to our communities and other places, too. It's just a slap in the face. And, you know, The bell. Much as we've said, coal dust causes black lung. Why would anybody want to expose their children before they ever get a start in life of coal dust? We had a lady take a petition down to the governor last week here. It was brought up in this area. They said, well, this is a coal mining community. Coal dust has always been there. Why, you know, they've known this. Why would they want their kids to have black lung before they're 25 years old? These kids don't even have a chance to get started in life.
Well, the answer is sad and simple, Ed. Because Don Blankenship has told them that they won't have a good living if they don't poison their children in his name.
Well,
and it's about as sick and perverted as something can get.
You're exactly right. And he sits there and stares them right in the face and tells them that he's a partner in education while he's shoving coal dust in their face, you know, and bringing in tons and tons of toxic chemicals. And another issue that really irks me around the state here, if you hear any problem at all, say a teenager calls in a silly bomb threat, you know, they make a big issue out there, shut the school down, bang, bang, all, you know, have it on the news, all kinds, just a great big ruckus about it. But there's hundreds of tons, you know, of being drove by these kids within 150, 300 yards of them, some cases right dead in front of school going down Main Route 3. You know, I think there's a law that you're not allowed to have these explosives somewheres, you know, within a range of a school. I know there's a law there somewheres.
Yeah.
But these people are allowed to bring in, you know, truckloads of it right by our children's school. You know, and they, it tells you, you know, I've been to health, mind, safety training. They tell you no two-way radios.
No cell phones.
No cell phones. Nothing. And this stuff could be set off. Well, everybody's got that, you know, and this is a very, very dangerous situation down there for our kids and other. You know, I've really got looked into this. It's going on in other places, too. You know, how are they allowed to break the law like this?
Well, how happened in, December of 2000 when the Supreme Court, by a 5-4 margin, installed the guy who lost the election? That's how. Because everything that follows from that is nothing but destruction and torment and death, Ed. The clarifications of the Clean Water Act, the clarification of clear skies, the clarification of labor laws that clarified that people who flip hamburgers are actually industrial workers. It all flows out of that hateful Supreme Court opinion, Ed.
That's right. You're exactly right, Bob. You're exactly right. It's sad where this nation's going and what's going on in our area. It's sad. I don't know what to say. I lose words, Bob. I really do.
Well, and I imagine I get to the point where I lose them too, Ed. I can't. There's been great progress made. The articles in Vanity Fair and National Geographic and the Teachers Journal. People are finding out what is going on, and this is America's dirty secret.
Oh yes, you're exactly right. We used to call it West Virginia's little dirty secret, but it's America's.
Don Blankenship has enough money to make sure that a football game gets called the Friends of Coal Bowl. He's got enough money to do that. He's got enough money to run just a horse gagging load of ads around West Virginia. And but the way you can gauge whether or not the rest of the country is beginning to respond to this evil is the fact that now if you turn on CNN, they've got some little girl there. Have you seen this ad from factsaboutcoal.org or some such other evil? Little girl sitting there looking out her sunshiny little window with the curtains billowing, and she says, "I'm so glad to know that we have 250 years' worth of coal left in the ground in the United States, and coal is going to lead to our energy independence." Well, the curtains that are blowing there in that ad, they're lily white, and they're fresh out of the laundry, but the thing that the coal crooks won't do is if that was reality, those curtains would have been hung at 8 o'clock that morning, and by 4 o'clock they'd already be filthy with the dust if it was around here.
That's exactly right. We used to have, before all this got brought up and all the attention to it, we heard teachers talk about when they left the classrooms, they would wipe the little kids' school desk off and lay a white piece of paper down, a sheet of paper down on top of the desk. And then the next morning they would come in and pick the piece of paper up, and it would be clean underneath the paper. But the rest of it had a film, a black, grayish film all over top of the desk. But to get them to admit it now is very hard to do. I mean, they was outspoken before, but now that this company has come in and brainwashed the people, you can't get them to talk about it now. They won't admit it, and it's sad, Bob. It's really sad. And again, Bob, I want to thank you for all of your hard work, and I want to encourage all the people in West Virginia and around America, Bob, to pay attention to what's going on with Pennies of Promise. We're not going to stop, and we're going to win, and we feel deep in our hearts that this is the right thing to do for our children, and we're going to win this. And I know we got some more of your supporters wanting to call in this evening, and we feel that we owe you. And I want to thank you and your wife and your children for all the hard work and time that you put in for us.
Well, Ed, you owe us nothing. It is our honor and it is our privilege to stand with people like you and the rest of the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch. I can't tell you what a privilege it is to be associated with you. Now, penniesofpromise.org, I'm you're right, we are going to win. I remember a couple of years ago down there at the school, a rally that was held. Don Blankenship's ugly little helicopter hovered over us, but a man who I consider a great friend now that I met that day, a fellow by the name of Matt Sherman, from the American Indian Movement,
right?
He said to us assembled that day, they have already lost.
Right.
What they do not realize is that they have already lost.
Right.
We know they have lost. It is but for them to figure it out for themselves, because we will be here after they are gone.
That's right. He spoke that well. He done a really good job that day. Matt is a really good person, and his heart's in the right place. He done a good job. And we also have the proper departure date of our walk, Bob. It's going to be August 2nd.
Say again. I lost you there in the static, Ed.
Okay, it's August 2nd, our departure date.
Uh-huh.
On Penny's Promise Walk. It'll be down in Charleston around 9 o'clock. And like I said, it'll be August 2nd. And again, Bob, I encourage people in West Virginia to stand up and go on this walk and be part of the right thing to do for our children in West Virginia.
Well, Agnes is writing down August 2nd, 9 a.m. right now. I plan on being there. Rain or shine, I will be there. I will walk what part of the way I can. And I have a feeling that there will be others who may join you as well. You know, we have a new friend on the network now who broadcasts live from Washington D.C. every day. I'm going to ask him if he might join you toward the end of the walk. Our good friend Bruce Birch has mentioned an interest in perhaps joining you somewhere along the way, perhaps in Virginia.
Definitely.
And we will cover this, and we'll get it out there on the Internet. We'll get it out there in the blogosphere, and we will do everything in our power to let people know what you and others like you, Ed, are trying to do for these children.
Well, I sure appreciate you, Bob. I appreciate you from deep in my heart. And I'm going to get off here and give other people a chance to call this evening and be part of what's right.
Well, thank you very kindly, Ed, and we'll see you on August 2nd.
Okay, Bob. Thank you.
Take care.
Mm-hmm.
Bye now. That's our good friend, Ed Wiley, willing to walk from Charleston, West Virginia, to Washington, D.C., to bring attention to a shame, a plight, a plague upon this land, willing to stand up for little children who are voiceless themselves, the children of Marsh Fork Elementary in Raleigh County. His walk begins August the 2nd. If you want to find out more, if you want to contribute, if you want to try to help, you can do so by going to penniesofpromise.org. Okay? Go. If you can forego something so that, you know, frankly, it's a Herculean effort, but it will happen. They're raising $5 million. And I know that we constantly have something, and I'm going to tell you about something else a little bit later on. But a little bit at a time, we can change the world. And what's the old saying? The journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. And there are people willing to take that step. And I'm proud to be associated with all kinds of people who are taking steps every day and leading the fight to save this nation. So I hope you'll go and have a look at penniesofpromise.org. If you can't, you know, if you don't have the wherewithal to donate, then do the equally good thing, and that is share this story with other people. The Marsh Fork Elementary story should be all over the Internet, because the day that it gets all over the Internet will be the day that it can no longer be denied. And rest assured, there is a ton of money out there that is not just fighting the kids of Marsh Fork. It's fighting you. It's fighting me. It's fighting everybody who wants to stand boldly and oppose the poisoning of our planet. And the poisoning of our children. I was joking earlier during Bruce's program. I typed to him in our production chat. I said, I think we need to start an organization called PETH. P-E-T-H. Not P-E-T-A. P-E-T-H. People for the Ethical Treatment of Humans. It'd be a great place to start with the children at Marsh Fork. So we're coming up on the top of the hour. It's time for the news. We've got 1 hour remaining, 1 hour for you to get your thoughts in. I hope you'll do so if you feel so inclined. The phone number is 877-443-2366. This is the Head On Radio Network, and I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. Security has been stepped up across India and in major U.S. cities following today's attacks in Mumbai, India. More than 140 rail passengers were killed in 7 rail bombings over a 10-minute period. No one has claimed responsibility for the attacks, but Indian officials suspect an Indian Muslim with links to Al-Qaeda. In Washington today, the Pentagon announced all prisoners being held in U.S. custody will receive protections of the Geneva Convention. Those international accords prohibit the torture of POWs. That comes after a Supreme Court ruling that said the military tribunals established by the Bush administration are illegal. The Bush administration is also asking Congress to pass legislation that would revive those tribunals. In Baghdad today, 16 people were killed in 2 suicide bombings near the Green Zone as a new parliament prepared to meet nearby. At least 50 people died today in scattered violence, most of them in Baghdad. In Gaza, Israeli troops have penetrated further into the Gaza Strip, expanding their efforts to win the release of an abducted Israeli soldier. Also today, the Palestinian Prime Minister accused the U.S. of collaborating with the Israelis to weaken the Hamas-led Palestinian government. In Afghanistan today, Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld vowed that the Taliban will be defeated. His visit comes ahead of the NATO peacekeeping force takeover and increased attacks by militants in the south. Today, coalition forces killed an estimated 30 militants. In Washington, the Associated Press reports that the State Department has been plagued by widespread computer hacking over the last few weeks. The attacks appeared to focus on offices in Washington and others that deal with China and North Korea. Also in Washington, President Bush is crediting his tax cuts for a forecasted drop in the federal deficit. The new figures show a drop from $423 billion to $296 billion. On Capitol Hill today, the House approved a bill that would crack down on Internet gambling. Banks and credit card companies would be prohibited from making payments to those sites. In Washington, the government announced that more than $5 billion in grants is available for post-Katrina housing. $4 billion of that will go toward helping Louisiana residents. The rest will go to residents in Mississippi, Texas, Alabama, and Florida. In Boston, subpoenas are being issued to those involved with the so-called Big Dig project that killed one woman yesterday. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network-quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
The U.S. is reportedly ready to sign a deal that paves the way for Russia to join the World Trade Organization. That comes ahead of this weekend's G8 summit in St. Petersburg. The National Academy of Sciences says global warming could harm California's wine industry. The agency says the growing season for grapes will be cut because of more hot days in Napa, Sonoma, and Santa Barbara counties. In Britain, 3 former bankers are scheduled to be extradited to the U.S. on Thursday. They'll face charges related to the Enron scandal. Delphi has posted an $828 million loss in the fourth quarter. The bankrupt auto parts maker blames high costs and falling production in North America. An internet tracking firm ranked MySpace.com the number one site last week. The firm says the teen hangout site displaced both Yahoo and Google. Google has announced plans to open an advertising facility in Michigan. The facility is expected to employ 1,000 workers within 5 years. Bill Gates says Microsoft's Windows Vista will probably be ready by January. The new operating system is still in its testing stage, where problems are still being uncovered and fixed. Light sweet crude settled at $74.16 a barrel today. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 31 points at 11,135. The Nasdaq was up 12 points at 2129. The S&P 500 was up 5 points at 1273. You can hear more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
I guess I've kind of been all over the board tonight. It's about 6 minutes after the hour, and plenty of time yet to get your licks in if you want to. But I want to kind of go somewhere right now. I'm sure you saw. I'm sure you saw this business about Dear Leader's willingness to use his first veto. You caught this, didn't you? I hope so. Because this is just a screamer. If the Senate approves a bill, and apparently there are 60 plus votes for it, and it's already passed the House, and this is expanding federal funding for stem cell research, then Karl Rove has told the world, and by the world I mean a group of an editorial board for a newspaper, the Denver Post. Rove has said Dear Leader will use his first veto to veto stem cell research. I know. You probably have someone in your family who might very well benefit from an expansion of federal funding of stem cell research. Spinal cord injuries, diabetes, blood diseases, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's. Oh, there's just all kinds of things out there that afflict the human condition. That could benefit from stem cell research. Because you know now, I mean, or you remember, I'm sure. Well, maybe not, because there are so many horrors to keep track of. The only line of stem cells that the government allows anybody to work on right now, thanks to Dear Leader, the only line of stem cells are polluted with mouse genetics. You remember that, don't you? Sure. They are contaminated. They are they're scientifically inviable because they have mouse genes in them. Rove told the Denver Post editorial board that he believes there are more than 60 votes for the legislation in the Senate, quote, and as a result, the president would, as he has previously said emphatically, veto the Castle bill. But you see, this isn't the Castle bill. This is the your granny bill. This is the your brother bill. This is a little baby bill. We have a friend, a dear friend of this program who has been listening to us for a long, long time. He lives in South Carolina. He has a little grandson named Jacob, a little over 2 years old. And Jacob is not well. Jacob suffers from spina bifida. And a particularly virulent variation on that. And Jacob could very well benefit from access to stem cell research. David, his grandfather, and this is not Tennessee David, this is South Carolina David. We have lots of Davids. Sent me a flyer that they're putting out. They're raising funds for Jacob. And I will ship this over to John Fox at headonradionetwork.com. You need to have a look. It says, "Hi, my name's Jacob. I'm almost 2 years old. There's a lot of lovely little photos. I live in Florence, South Carolina. I'm a very happy, energetic, and loving baby, but I have a condition called Arnold Chiari malformation. It has damaged my brain stem and has made it hard for me to breathe like I should. I've already had two surgeries on my skull and spine to try to correct it, but it hasn't worked. I even had to get a trach to help me breathe easier. Since it's so hard for me to breathe, my heart is working really hard to get blood to my lungs. My doctors think my heart will stop beating completely if something isn't done. They said I'll only live a few more months if we can't find something that will help me. They don't know anything else to do for me. My mommy found some doctors at the Arnold Chiari Institute to help me, but this clinic is in New York, and it will cost a lot of money for us to go there because they won't take out-of-state insurance. It'll cost $1,600 just to see the doctor there. A lot of expensive tests, possibly even surgery. And it closes, please help my mommy raise money to get me to these doctors so I will have more time to spend with her. Anything you can give will be appreciated. We'll post this at headonradionetwork.com. But I received this from David on the same day that I was reading the story about Karl Rove telling the Denver Post editorial board, Karl Rove, that son of a bitch. I don't use that a lot. I usually use some cute little euphemism like seventh son of a sorry syphilitic sea cook or something. But no. Whatever gave birth to Karl Rove must be every bit as nasty as Karl Rove himself is. So let me share with you. Kind of got to take a breath for this one. Let me share with you the words of Karl Rove to the Denver Post editorial board. He said, and I quote, "We were all an embryo at one point, and we ought to, as a society, be very careful about being callous about the wanton destruction of embryos of life." Yeah. As a society, we should be very careful about being callous about the wanton destruction of embryos of life. I'm not going to scream. I'm just not going to scream. That's not to say, however, that that is easy not to do. Because, you see, Karl Rove doesn't give a tinker's damn about embryo life, adult life, infant life, any life. Karl Rove, you see, is an agent of darkness. He is an agent. If you believe in Satan and devils, Karl Rove has the carry, has the membership card, the secret tattoo that only other satanic demons can read. Because, you see, Karl Rove doesn't care about anyone's life. After all, he was cheering and rah-rahing and hurrahing when encouraged Dear Leader to go out and slaughter. Slaughter? There's no better word. Massacre? We could use massacre. But I'll be damned if I'm going to get involved with something like collateral damage. No, slaughter, massacre. Karl Rove advocated the slaughter of the 150,000 innocents that we have killed in Iraq and Afghanistan. 150,000. More than one-tenth of a million. 0.1 million. He was eager for that. And you see, I have no, so you gotta, you know. Karl Rove, this is same crap, different day. He knows that these 2006 elections are critical. He knows that their fat is seriously in the fire. If we take back the House and the Senate in 2006, Karl Rove knows that there may be a set of orange, blaze orange jumpsuit and shower shoes and a soap on the rope waiting for him if we get the House and Senate back. Because Karl Rove knows that Karl Rove is a demon. You know, the little cloven hooves, and I'm sure he has his pants specifically tailored to hide the pointy damn tail. He cares nothing about life, but he thinks he can do it again. He thinks he can go out and appeal to people in the first Church of Holiness and Herpetological Warm Weather and get them to come out in their droves and vote for life, because we got to protect the embryos. And why shouldn't he think it? He's done it every campaign he's ever run. He did it when he ran George's campaign in Texas for governor. He did it when they were sliming Ann Richards. He did it running against Al Gore. He did it running against John Kerry. And every time he has gone to the cultish religion industry and said, it's about life and John Kerry's gonna eat your mama's Bible. Lord, Lord, yes, it's happened, okay? So he knows, this is all he knows. He's a one-trick pony, sunshine, and he's going to do it again, and it's about the stem cells. It's about the snowflake babies. We need to, these frozen embryos, we can't be using them to cure children like Jacob. No, they have to be kept in cryogenic suspension until they can be adopted by some religion industry freak and turned into a snowflake baby. A snowflake baby. That's what they call them. They call them snowflake babies. So please don't. Jiminy Christmas. He went on at a fundraiser where he raised $200,000. Said the big issues this fall's election would be the economy in Iraq. And he said Democrats are a bunch of cut-and-run people because we want out of the war. We want to end the war that George and Carl started. Quote, we're in a war with Islamic fascists. They want to reestablish and caliphate an Islamic empire. I didn't know caliphate was a verb. Let's go to the phones. Gene is with us, calling from Oregon. Hey, Gene, welcome to the program. Gene? Doggone it. I'm sorry, Gene. Bob, North Dakota. Hey, welcome to the program. Bob. Bob?
Yeah.
There you are.
Hey.
Hey.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Turn down the radio in the background, please.
Oh, goodness gracious. I'm sorry about Gene. I wish he was on. I like Gene. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Okay. I had a mute down on the other thing there.
No, I understand.
Because I was on the delay.
Well, it takes a few seconds for us to get to North Dakota.
Well,
I mean, you know, Senator Stevens said, you know, it's not like we're putting the data on a big truck. They have to go through the tubes, so it takes a little while to get the data to you, Bob.
That long. Hey, I am so blessed. I really am. Finally found my roots again, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're right there in West Virginia with you. Yeah.
How about that?
I found my roots. I'm thinking about my old granddad. He was out of West Virginia.
Really?
Yeah, he was. He come out after the Civil War. Got a couple uncles with him. A couple of my uncles come out with him after the Civil War. Yeah?
Yeah.
They was out of that country that everybody doesn't even know. And they told me. Story. To a young boy, they told a story.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the funniest thing is that out of them stories, they got me into thinking about family. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Families back there that they had that, you know, buried after that horrible fight between people of the same nation. And now we're in the same fight again, Bob.
Yep.
Yeah, we are. We're dang near in the middle of the second Civil War in this country, and it hurts so doggone bad that I had to say it. I told Agnes where I came from. I told her, and you know, the funniest doggone thing is that so many people are so busy thinking about what TV, about books, or about magazines, or about the next election. But, hey, it ain't got nothing to do with no election unless you're part of it, unless you get involved and do something about it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what them boys did back then. They took a stand. Some of them took the wrong stand, and they paid with blood. And they paid with all their blood. Blood of my family. Blood of your family. It lays there under those mountains.
Mm-hmm.
It just does. But most people they're so worried about whether their SUV will start in the morning and they can get some gas down to the gas station, go over here and buy themselves what are those? I've never had one of them cappuccinos, have you? Have you?
Me? Cappuccino? Oh, I used to have a machine till we wore it out.
You used to have a machine till you threw it out, huh?
No, we burned it out. We wore it out.
Oh, you wore it out?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Agnes likes her coffee so strong it can get up and hit back.
You got to be kidding.
No.
No, you got to be kidding me.
I wouldn't lie to you.
I wouldn't doubt that. You wouldn't lie to me, but I won't lie to you either.
She likes espresso with a little bit of Hershey syrup and a whole bunch of foamed milk. A mochaccino.
Oh, you're picking on me now.
I am not. No, Agnes, say.
Get her on the phone.
I so do.
Huh? You do?
Oh, yeah. I like caffeine. I have breakfast of champions, a cigarette, and a cup of coffee.
Yeah. Yeah, she has the liberal talk radio breakfast of champions, half a pack of Marlboros and a couple of cups of espresso.
Oh, my goodness.
And I live on air.
And you live on air. Yeah, well, hey, I love you guys. I really do. But listen, guys, we, the people, all of us, okay? We're talking Abe Lincoln here. We're talking going back in time and forward in time at the same time. That's weird to me because I live both in the future and in the past because my grandpappy, he told me stories, and my great uncles, you know, my granduncle, they told me stories, you know?
Yeah.
And I lived what they had been through. I was a child. And then I went off to fight a stupid war for a bunch of stupid people. And that's what we're doing now. We're fighting a stupid war for a bunch of stupid people. And I keep thinking about that chimp in the White House. He has taken us into the past, and he's taking away our future, Bob.
Yeah.
Not yours and mine. Because, hell, I know your future doesn't mean much to you, but it means a whole lot to your grandbabies and to your babies.
Yeah. The past and the future together make up the present, Bob.
Yes, sir. And the thing is, we have to rally. We have to pull it together. People.
Yeah, we can't get, Bob, we can't get distracted. We absolutely cannot get distracted. November 2006, you know, I know we'd like to talk about who's going to run for president and all that stuff. November 2006 is it.
Yes, it is. It's either we do it or we are dead. And I mean dead like our ancestors. We're just dead, you know, in the water. And I was talking with a friend this evening and... And
yeah,
I had to ask the question, what are you afraid of, Bob? Are you afraid of losing?
I don't know. I'm going to have to take some time and chew on that.
Yeah.
Bob, Agnes has the music going in the skillet out. I got to roll.
Agnes, don't hit him too hard because his brain is soft.
Ain't that the truth? It's downright squishy. Bob, have a good
one. Love you both.
Bye now.
Take care of your babies.
Will do.
Bye.
Our good friend Bob in North Dakota. And a quick break when we come back. More of your phone calls, I promise. No babbling from me, straight to the phones. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great, and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
Another day is over, another light is breaking, and I'm tired, but I'm wild about you, my little one. I feel you in the water, I feel you in the corner of my cell, babe. Who else, babe, knows you like I do? As we go again round the stars and their friends loving me.
Now is the time to join together to protect our world, or we could lose all it gives us. To learn how you can help, call for your free World Wildlife Fund Action Kit at 1-800-CALLWWF. Together, we can be a force for nature.
We've got about 25 minutes or so left in the program tonight. Last chance for a few comments. So let's go straight to the phones. Katie is with us. Hey, Katie, welcome to the program. Thanks.
Hey, Bob.
How are you?
I'm doing good tonight.
Wonderful.
I do have to tell you one thing, though, about Karl Rove.
Yeah?
You know, the reason that they really, really are bucking to keep those embryos alive?
Uh-huh.
Is because those are the only potential voters they have.
I thought you were going to say that they were small enough that they fit through the hollow little canine teeth and, you know, the blood-sucking monkey that he is. But, yeah. But that, yeah, that makes as much sense.
And you have to remember, he's not a son of a bitch. It's proper to say he's son of a jackal.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Now, George Bush, now he is for real a son of a bitch.
Yeah, because we've seen Barbara.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, yes. Definitely, definitely there.
That evil, evil woman.
They are very evil. Now, what kind of health care do we have in this world when that poor little boy can't go and get that treatment that he needs?
I know. I mean, it stuns me. I've followed Jacob's grandfather. David has kindly kept us apprised of Jacob's condition for several months now. David has had to fight. I haven't even put out all the stuff because. David seems like rather a private person, and I would not ever want to be accused of trying to use another person, and I don't want to do that. But David has had to fight, and of course this is South Carolina, and government down there, you know, in the deep South, Katie, government exists not for the people, but for the people, but for, shall we say, the right people.
The GOB network?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
David has had to fight to literally keep the power on in his home so that Jacob's life support and Jacob's life thereby would not be terminated by a power company that is not legally prevented from cutting power to people who are on life support in the home.
Oh. I don't think they can do that here.
Well, they can't pull that in West Virginia, but the fact that they can't now is not to say that they don't want to be that way in the future.
Exactly. Who cares if the old people freeze to death either?
Or burn up.
True.
Or you know, who cares if the oxygen my dad's on home oxygen now. We've got a 16-hour tank sitting in the house in case the power ever goes out in a storm or something.
Yep, my dad had some spares.
Right.
Over there looking like he was going to make balloons.
Only thing is, you breathe this stuff and you don't talk like a munchkin.
No, you don't talk like a munchkin. That's the bad part about it. Now, the other thing that I wanted to ask you about was, how is it legal for this school, with all this sludge around, how is it legal for them to do that to these kids?
Well, it's not. Ed wasn't kidding, Katie. It is patently illegal. In fact, the coal company, Massey, dummied up the survey maps. They were on the verge, and if you go to crmw.net or ovec.org, ohvec.org. You can see photos of this school, and you can see the prep plant sitting next to it. They were getting ready to build another coal silo even closer to the school when an investigative reporter, at the prompting of some of these fine folks down there in the Coal River Valley and the Coal River Mountain Watch people, found out that they had gone and just, like, taken a little eraser and erased the line and just kind of took the ruler and the protractor and, you know, extended it. Oh, yeah, okay. Because they're not allowed to be within, what, I think 300 yards of a school?
Mm-hmm.
But they are. It's illegal, but, of course, no one...
Go against Massey.
Right. This is a mercantilist economy. You know, there's a reason we don't have other industry here. Because the coal, it is contrary to the coal industry's best interests if we have a diversified economy.
Hmm. Yep.
You know, nobody that does anything, nobody that makes anything is ever going to come to any part of West Virginia that is polluted with coal industry filth. They're just not going to do it. They're not going to ask their people to come and send their children to schools that are poisonous to attend. They're not going to ask them to buy houses. There's a little place called Sylvester, West Virginia, Katie, where a group of older ladies who proudly refer to themselves as the Sylvester Dustbusters, they had their property, their homes, literally stolen from them by the Massey Corporation by virtue of the fact that they put a prep plant in, and you could literally, it was like what Ed was talking about with the piece of paper on the desk, a place that was absolutely spotless clean, by the end of the day, would be covered in a film of just grime and goo. You can't sit on your front porch. You can't do any of that. We're talking about $125,000 homes in Boone County, West Virginia, whose values have been reduced by virtue of coal dust and filth to something on the order of 12.
Oh, my God. Those poor people.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure they're what my folks, my mother always described as, we're working folks. And I'm sure those people in that school are working folk.
That's all. I mean, we don't, yeah, there's nobody with kids in gated communities going to that school.
Exactly. Exactly. I almost wish they could just pull them all out.
Yeah, but there's a stand and fight element to it too, Katie. Yep,
there is.
Because we're talking about families that have literally been in that valley long before the first lump of coal was ever scrabbled out of the ground. They were there. You know, there's an element of people in West Virginia who came here to get away from the imposition and intrusion of, you know, the royal government.
Exactly.
We're talking a couple of hundred, three, you know, some as 250 years.
Mm-hmm.
And longer. And as a consequence of that, frankly, with the exception of the Native Americans, they've got the greatest rights of anyone to be there, and to be run off by a coal... by the coal industry is simply wrong, because if they do, if Massey succeeds in running them off, and they'd like to, then that place will just turn into more of a toxic swamp than we can even comprehend.
And what they'll basically do then is lay waste to the place and leave.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like the coal industry stays around after the coal is gone. I could take you on a walk down a beautiful rail trail here about 2 miles from the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see the grown-over open drift mouth of the mine, and that whole creek valley was once filled with tipples and railroads and stores and homes. It's all gone now because it all disappears when the coal goes away.
Yep.
Now, I think the important thing is to remember that in a lot of instances... people who have needed the most in this country have been helped the most by people outside their regions. And I think about the flooding and the yellow fever that used to plague the area where I grew up in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Norris was a Republican back when there were good Republicans, a Republican senator from Nebraska. And it was this Nebraska senator's work, you know, and what's that, you know, what's Nebraska got to do with the Tennessee River Valley? But it was this Nebraska senator's work that pulled up an entire region out of abject dirt-eating poverty. And the same thing is going to have to happen with the kids at Marsh Fork. Because, I'll be honest, Jay Rockefeller is not going to stand up for him.
Nope.
Robert Byrd is not going to stand up for him.
Nope.
None of our elected officials is going to stand up for them. It's going to have to be a Barack Obama It's going to have to be a Dick Durbin. It's going to have to be a Hillary Clinton, maybe.
Well, maybe Durbin, but never Obama, because he's not going to rock the boat.
Well, I fear that you might be correct.
Yes. We had a lot of hopes for him, but...
But if we start agitating with legislators and good Democrats and real liberals outside of West Virginia, we may yet save the future for those kids at Marsh Fork.
You're right.
I'm well reminded when the mine explosion took place down in Alabama in 2001, the ladies who would go on to become widows, when they still didn't know what was happening, what had happened to their husbands, they got no call from Richard Shelby, senator from Alabama. They got no call from Jeff Sessions, senator from Alabama. They got no call from all the weirdo little Republican congressmen. The first phone call that came through was from Paul Wellstone, Katie.
I believe it.
And somewhere out there, there have got to be some more Wellstones, because nature abhors a vacuum, and we are absolutely up to our earlobes in leadership vacuum right now.
You're right. And we have to support the people that we get who are positive.
Yes.
And I think one of the things that when you were talking about, you know, supporting this man and his grandson and supporting the efforts to clean up that area with the school is it doesn't take a lot. I think everybody thinks that, well, I can't afford to give $20 here and $20 there. If everybody gave a dollar.
Yeah.
Do you know how much we could change the world if instead of deciding, oh, I'll give, you know, the $20 to this place this month and then maybe I can give another 20 next month. If you gave a dollar to each place that you wanted to support and everybody did that, we would have money coming out of our ears.
Yeah. Katrina proved that. The tsunami proved that, Katie.
Yep, it sure did. It sure did. It doesn't take much.
Yeah, and it's you're not really going without anything.
No, you're not. You're not. And if everybody who would download one of the Horn Radio Network shows would give Horn a dollar, you know?
Yeah.
Would give I'm going to mispronounce his last name, Lieutenant Watata, a dollar.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
He'd have a heck of a defense fund.
Yes, he would.
And this is what we have to do. We have to go back to this grassroots effort, that we're not counting on the big boys for the bucks, that we just go, you know, our own march of dimes.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No,
you're very articulate, Katie. Dollar by dollar, we can do it. You know, what it boils down to, it's a dollar and what, 37 cents for the stamp?
Yep.
Nickel for the envelope, you're into a $1.42 to give a dollar.
Yep.
Now, unfortunately, it doesn't work that way with PayPal or something like that, because they'll charge you more than the dollar to process the dollar.
Sometimes they do, yeah. But just put it in an envelope and send it off.
Yeah, and frankly, I hope we get Jacob's information posted over at the headonradionetwork.com homepage. Thankyoult.org. You know, so many ways to do the right thing in relatively painless fashion.
Right, and I think if we encourage that, I think we'll get a lot more.
Thank you so much, Katie. I haven't heard from you in forever. I hope you're doing okay.
I'm doing great.
Wonderful. Hope we'll hear from you again soon.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
And onward, first-time caller, Matt.
Yes.
Hey, Matt. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I was calling because I live down in the Culver Valley in West Virginia, near where the school is at that we've been talking about so
mm-hmm.
much. And I just wanted to like, say, like, their last caller said take their kids out of the school, and like, the pennies of promise is to push to build a new school
right.
in the community, because they've already got plans for consolidation, and they're building new schools and everything. And so basically, I just wanted to really stress how important it is to not really give up on the area. And
well, I agree with you, Matt.
Yeah.
People have a right to be down there.
Right, exactly.
A greater right than Massey has to literally blow the life out of the mountains. Mm-hmm. You know, I wonder, I often wonder, and I'm just kind of brainstorming on the air, I wonder if PETA, you know, I talk about PETA sometimes, and sometimes they get under my skin or they bother me, but I wonder if People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals has heard about mountaintop removal. You know, what about, you know, what about the bears? What about the deer? It's said that, you know, with one of these god-awful removal sites, a crow flying across has to pack a lunch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, just because it's not happening in a processing factory doesn't mean that these animals are being treated any less unethically.
That's absolutely right.
And I could certainly respect them if they would get involved with something like that. But no, I think it's important for people to remain down there, because to abandon the area to the likes of Massey inflicts a special kind of hell on the rest of the state, because they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop with southern West Virginia.
No. And I was actually just the other day at a hearing at the DEP for the Tier 2.5 trout streams.
Yes.
I don't know if you're familiar. I'm sure you're familiar with it.
Yes, I am.
None of them are around here in the coal-producing areas. And the ones that are, they took off. And it's like the DEP's already given up and kind of ceding the whole area over to the coal companies.
Well, I mean, how much life does the big or the little coal support now?
Right. They stock the rivers. There's nothing living naturally.
Yeah, and then what they stock with, if it's not fished out immediately, dies.
Right.
This is of critical importance. And again, I can't emphasize enough, Matt, the importance of people from, well, you can tell how much they fear it and how much they hate it by the way that the coal industry screams about out of state interests. You know,
mm-hmm.
But frankly, it's going to be out-of-staters coupled with committed and determined residents of this state who will no longer sit passively by and watch us be destroyed. That's what's going to save us. It's going to be Californians and Oregonians and Washingtonians.
Right.
It's going to be Missourians and New Yorkers and the people who thought they had no connection to coal when they realize that what it's taking for them to turn the lights on. Then, when they become empowered, that's how change comes.
And all these big coal companies, too. I mean, you talk about out-of-state interests. They are out-of-state interests. You know, ours is from St. Louis, and Peabody's the same, and Massey's from Richmond.
And some of these things are only holding companies for interests that are all the way across the ocean.
Yeah.
It's the ultimate in out-of-state interests.
Mm-hmm.
And we stay here, and we pay the taxes, and, you know... What they think of us is borne out completely in the lawsuit that they filed. You know, thank God they failed. But in the last year, they've tried to get every court they could lay their filthy little slimy hands on to make you and me give them back a few $100 million.
Yeah.
That tells you everything you need to know about the out-of-state coal interests.
It does.
And as the November elections come up, In individual counties in West Virginia, people need to go to the Secretary of State's website and look at the candidates to whom Don Blankenship has given money. Because if they've taken money from Don Blankenship, you can bet your last dollar it's nobody that you want representing you.
Absolutely.
Matt, it's very good. It's so very good to hear from you. I hope we'll hear from you again soon.
All right. Thanks for doing what you're doing, Bob.
We try, but you guys try harder. I appreciate it.
All right.
Bye now.
Bye.
Our new friend Matt from the Coal River Valley. This show has, it's taken on a life of its own, and it has grown to be a global thing, but I can't get away from what this show is, where this show is, and I hope you guys are okay with it, because frankly, we need you here. I wasn't kidding talking to Matt. If West Virginia is to be saved, there are West Virginians here willing to work to their dying breath to save it, but you know, our government's bought off. Our government is owned lock, stock, and barrel. And until we get help from our fellow Americans, they're going to continue to do to West Virginia what they're doing. My God, we have got to have Californians. We've got to have Arizonans, New Mexicans, Coloradans, Oregonians, Washingtonians. We got to have Tennesseans. We got to have Alabamians and Georgians and Floridans and North and South Carolinians, because especially in those states, that's where our coal is going that they're blowing up the mountains to get. And there's nothing mean in what I say about that. But there's got to be a sensible energy policy. Why do you think that they, and you know this, of course, the right-wing freaks, they don't attack global warming. Oh, yeah, it's just a theory like evolution. They don't do that, you know, for the hell of it. They do that because they realize if Americans start understanding what's going on with our national energy policy and what is being done to fuel our addiction, that there will be change. Don Blankenship knows that. The head of Arch Coal knows that. The head of Peabody knows that. And they're afraid that they're afraid that by the time that they go to their reward and shuffle off this mortal coil and the golden bowl be loosed and whatever, they're afraid that they'll end their lives $40 million short of what they had hoped to acquire in this life. Jesus, what a pathetic way to measure one's worth and one's existence. Money. How sad is that? But it's gonna take the help of our fellow Americans. So yeah, go by. Make the hit counter spin at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. Make the hit counter spin at ovec.org. Drop an email at either place and tell them that you heard about all this on Head On. And tell them that you stand shoulder to shoulder in brotherhood and sisterhood with them as they literally put their lives on the line to save this place, this great, wild, wonderful place for another generation. Please, please do that. I would sincerely appreciate it. And so would they, because, as is so often the case, it's so very, very easy to think that we labor in anonymity and we labor in silence and we labor in sorrow and hopelessness. But when people know that others are out there, you don't have to be here to help in the fight. You got a congressman that's remotely possibly accusable of being liberal, write them. Tell them what is going on in West Virginia. Because, like, if you go through one of those Senator Stevens tubes onto the internets, and you can avoid being hit by a fast-moving movie, and you go to a congressman's website, and he's not, well, you know, I can't write to, I'm trying to think of a really... Well, I can't send an email to Dennis Kucinich and have it paid attention to because I'm not one of Dennis Kucinich's constituents. If you are, however, you can tell him that we need help here. This is networking of the most fundamental variety and the most pressingly important. Have you got a decent senator? Is Jim McDermott in Washington State, is he your congressman? Then do us a favor back here in West Virginia. Make him aware of what they're doing to us, please. Because we're going to need his help after we take back the House and Senate in 2006. Because we're going to have Democratic majorities in both houses that are absolutely in-your-face confrontational. You know, I got a story that I didn't get to this evening, and there's so many I don't. Where is it? And I'll save some of these for tomorrow because there's some real... here it is. See if you can make any sense out of this. You want to know why we need a republic, or we need to get rid of the Republican majority? From the Christian Science Monitor yesterday, the Republican chairman of the House Intelligence Committee said the White House briefed his committee on another significant intelligence program only after it was brought to his attention by a government whistleblower. The briefing came after Mr. Hoekstra wrote a strongly worded letter to President Bush about not being briefed on the program. Hoekstra would not comment on the nature of the program or whether it involved domestic or international surveillance. Keep reading. A couple of pages of it. You're still not going to find out what the program is. So there's another program out there where they're spying on you and they're spying on me. And they're spying on the Democratic Party. But we can't tell you, because if we told you, we would have to kill you. Really? And you wonder why? No, you don't wonder. We have to have. I mean, you know, Thomas Jefferson demands, freedom demands. Today is the 202nd anniversary of the duel between Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr. History demands. The future demands that we have a Democratic majority in the House and in the Senate. For without it, we are so done. We're overdone. We're well done. We're shoe leather, okay? So there's a lot of work to do. Please keep the faith. Keep heart. The show tonight was produced, as it ever is, by my darling wife, Agnes. Announced by Brian Reznor. Engineered by John Fox in Sydney, Australia. Peter Godbold of Godbold Computers in Tallahassee, Florida, makes all the little electrons dance their merry tune, as he calls it. And we are so grateful. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org maintains the streaming and the archives and the podcasting of this and every other program on the Head On Radio Network, as well as archiving many other fine liberal programs like Mike Malloy, who is upcoming presently on Air America. Ben has a fundraiser going on. Ben needs your help. Ben is the hardest working man in liberal talk. He doesn't have time to send you a bill. Once again, it's easy, it's not expensive, just do the right thing. And of course, every program on the Head On Radio Network comes to you by the true virtue of people whose values include hard work, namely the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights, and who get up every day and go to work, rain or shine, cold or hot, and they build the American dream. And by supporting this network, they are doing their best to save the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.